From Hollywood, it's the new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy.
Now, flip your Bergens to help me. I'll mow you down.
It's Sunday night and time again transcribed for Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy with Mortimer Smurd, Effie Clinker, Gary Crosby, Carol Richards, Ray Noble, Jack Kirkwood, Elvia Allman, the Mellow Men, yours truly, John Easton, and our special guest, Nevada State Assemblyman, Mr. Stan Irwin. And here they are now, the stars of our show, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, winter's here, the weather's turning chilly, the girls are turning to sweaters, and my head is turning to girls. I love my girls wild and woolly.
All right, all right.
Oh, my sweater girls.
All right, all right. What is this sudden interest you have, Charlie, in sweaters?
Haven't you heard, Bergen? Our neighbor, Mrs. Jenkins, and I, we're partners.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, we're partners. It's the McCarthy Sweater Manufacturing Company.
Oh.
Girls, buy a McCarthy sweater. Let us pull the wool over your eyes.
All right.
Our sweaters have that inflationary look. Yet modestly priced.
All right.
Girls, try our sports car model. It really hugs the curves. All day are dandy.
Yes.
I talked to Mrs. Jenkins, you know, the other day. Donna,
how did you ever get into this ridiculous sweater business?
Well, you see, Mrs. Jenkins is doing the knitting.
Oh, I see.
And I'm growing the wool.
Oh, yes. But you need a herd of sheep, don't you? You don't have a herd of sheep.
No, I don't have a herd of sheep, no.
Well, what do you have?
I got two rabbits.
Two rabbits, I see.
There'll be a herd tomorrow.
Oh, I see. Charlie, I insist that this whole idea is ridiculous. Why, you don't even know the first thing about raising rabbits.
Yes, and now you're wrong there. The first thing is to prepare for more.
I see.
And to really speed up production, I'm going to put a phonograph playing in the rabbit cage.
I see. A phonograph?
Yeah. I'm going to play songs like 16 Sons.
16 Sons.
Cry Me a Litter or something like that.
You know, I once had a pair of rabbits, and in 6 months, guess how many I had?
I give up how many?
Well, just one. The other one ran away.
Oh. Bergen, how about you? I got a sweater that's just right for you.
No. You have?
Yeah. It looks like a rainbow. And there's ample room for the pot at the end.
Yeah, all right. No sale.
All right. You haven't seen my complete line yet, you know. We not only make turtleneck sweaters for people, but we make people-neck turtles for... Oh, dear. People make sweaters for turtles.
All right.
Yeah.
Wasn't worth going for.
No.
Manufacturing sweaters is not as easy as you think, Charlie. Do you have any idea what goes into a sweater?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I wasn't born yesterday.
Besides, why do you think the sweaters make... I can't read this.
I noticed that. You want to try it once more, or do you want to sit up here?
No. Why do you think the sweaters that you make for the girls will be so popular?
Well, you may not be smart, but you're persistent.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Because every sweater I turn out will be just exactly too tight enough.
I see.
I say, old boy, look. Doesn't a tight sweater stop circulation?
Oh, heck no. The tighter a gal's sweater, the more she's in circulation.
Oh.
And we feature personalized service. On request, I knit a sweater right on a gal.
Oh, now, that's an expensive procedure, isn't it?
Yes, but my good man, there are many things. There are some things. Now you've got me doing it. There are times when money isn't everything.
I see.
Sir, yeah. I say, look, speaking of money, do you sell on credit, or are all your sweaters cashmere and carry? I mean, you get that, don't you? I mean, cashmere, you know.
I do. And for 2 cents cash, I smear you all right.
No, but seriously, old chap. I'm sorry. I mean, old chap.
Just read it the way it's written, Buster. That's all.
Well, anyway, Charles, old boy, I thought it might buy a sweater for my girlfriend, you see.
Oh, yeah.
The only trouble is she's quite plump.
Plump, eh?
Uh-huh.
You mean she's on the heavy side?
On the side? It wouldn't be so bad.
Oh.
So, I mean, just to give you an idea of her shape, she can stand in the rain and not get her feet wet.
Oh, I see, yes. Well, I get your picture.
Oh, it's quite a picture.
It must be, yes. Though don't worry, curves are coming back, you know.
Well, hers not only came back, they brought friends with them, old boy.
I can just see her in one of our sweaters. She'll be all wool and a yard wide. Now, Ray, how many do you need so I can alert Mrs. Jenkins and our rabbits, too?
Now, just a minute, Charlie. I think you're pressing a little bit here. I think this has gone far enough. I'm afraid you're going to have to forget this whole sweater business.
What's the idea? What do you mean?
Well, first of all, you're not allowed to raise rabbits in our neighborhood.
No? Well, don't tell me. Tell the rabbits.
Yeah. And that isn't the right answer.
Well, then, why did you make me say it?
Well, I don't know. I tell you this, either the rabbits go or I go, and that's final.
Well, we're going to miss you.
Yeah.
And that's final.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to miss you, young man. I'm going to get you out into the woodshed. You're coming out with me there now, young man.
Now, Berger, now don't you hit me.
Come on, Charlie.
You'll get splinters. Now, Berger.
Now, here's Carol Richards, our sweet singer of songs, singing Sad, Sentimental, and Sorry.
I get sad, sentimental, and sorry whenever I think about you. Sad, sentimental, and sorry, except for a memory or two. I think about all the fun and the laughter and the love we used to know. It hurts a bit, but I'll admit I was a fool to let you go. Now I'm sad, sentimental, and sorry, and every so often I cry. Sad, sentimental, and sorry, because with the days that go by, I know I lost a fortune of happiness when I didn't stake my claim. Now I'm sad, sentimental, and sorry, but I've only myself to blame. A fool to let you go.
Now I'm regretting getting
sad, sentimental, and sorry. And every so often I cry.
I'm sad and sentimental,
sad, sentimental, and sorry. Because with the days that go by, I know I lost a fortune of happiness when I didn't stake my claim.
You should have staked it.
Sad, sentimental, and sorry, but I've only myself to blame. What a shame, only myself to blame.
Sad, sentimental, and sorry.
Ladies Ladies and gentlemen, now for the inspirational portion of our program, our Poet's Corner. We proudly present our guest speaker. Here he is, the Poet Laureate of the Slenderella Salon, Professor Ralph Waldo Kirkwood.
Good evening. I'm sorry I was late getting out here, but I was in my dressing room taking a little nap.
Don't you mean a little nip, Professor?
That was just a lucky guess, boy.
No.
And I call you boy only because we're not on television.
Yes, yes, yes. You're wandering from your subject, and it will do.
Well, actually, I've been busy all day writing a poem for my wife.
Oh, then you're married, Professor.
Of course I'm married. Do you think I look this way from aggravation?
You're just saying that. I'm sure you have a very wonderful wife.
Well, actually, you're right, boy. Yes. Every night she fixes my dinner, gets into a cute little apron, and waits for me at the door.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, it's a shame I never go home. Oh. What a beast.
Now, please, Professor, please. Now, you said you wrote a poetic valentine for your wife. Would you mind reciting it?
Oh, of course not. Dear wife, every time I kiss you, there's cold cream on your face. I know now how a ball player feels when he slides past third base.
Professor, it can't be that bad.
Oh, no. You should see my wife with curlers in her hair. She looks like an explosion in a corkscrew factory.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You have suffered, haven't you, Professor?
Oh, yes. But I'm used to my miserable luck. Take the tough break I had just this year. I wrote a terrific new song called 15 Tons.
15 Tons?
Yeah, how do you like that? I missed by just one lousy ton.
I'm very interested, Professor. I did know that you wrote songs, too.
Oh, yes. I've written many lyrical masterpieces.
There's such a...
Well, let me see now. Well, first there was that romantic ballad, When It's Strawberry Time, I'll Get Rash With You.
Yes. Lovely.
Then I wrote Dancing in the Dark, gave me such a thrill, till I found out you weren't Helen, you were Bill.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah, then there's my favorite. There are so many holes in my mattress, it might as well be spring.
Yes.
Oh, might as well be... Ooh, the pains are coming back.
Don't labor the point, Professor. What poem do you intend to regale us with tonight?
Ode to Young Love.
Uh-huh.
Love... Once you came to me, I laughed the long day through, for I was young, and happily I reveled in this love so new. So beautiful she seemed to me, I wished that we might wed. Her neck, it was just like ivory, alas, so was her head. I sipped the nectar from her lips as neath the moon we sat, and wondered if any other man ever drank from a mug like that.
And now here's our youthful singer of songs, Gary Crosby, singing a la his new Decca record, Get a Load of Me.
A new suit, pinstripe to boot, get a load of me. Dig the pork pie, then check my tie, get a load of me. I'm all dressed up for uptown, but I might go downtown too. I got a pin to spend, so you can see, my friend, that I'm a member of the well-to-do. Here with a big grin, I'm heading in for the neon light. All the chicks there better prepare for the night of night. So feet start locomoting, and I mean immediately, oh yeah, because I just can't wait till and get a load of me. get a load of me. Yeah, get a load of me. I'm all dressed up for uptown, but I might go downtown too. I got a friend to spend, so you can see, my friend, that I'm a member of the well-to-do. Here with a big grin, I'm heading in for the neon light. All the chicks there better prepare for the night of night. So please start locomoting, and I mean immediately, oh yeah, because I just can't wait till him get a load of me. Oh yes, I just can't wait till you get a load of me. Mm-hmm, I just can't wait till you get a load of me.
Well, it ain't Brooks Brothers, but I think it's gonna play.
Sun is shining, oh happy day. The smog is smogging, oh this is L.A. Hidey, hody, hody.
Oh, hello, Mortimer, what's new?
Well, my police dog had a litter of new rookies.
New rookies, yeah. Another batch of puppies.
Yeah, yeah.
It's getting monotonous.
Yeah. Well, what else can a dog have, I say? Oh, happy day.
Well, now, why are you so happy?
Well, you see, it all started when I busted my mirror.
Oh, you broke your mirror?
Yeah. I looked in it a little too quick, I guess, yeah. I should have warned it a little.
Yeah, well, so what?
Well, that was 7 years ago, you know. And today, my bad luck is up.
Oh, I see. That's why you're happy.
Yeah.
Dame Fortune is smiling on you again.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
You mean, is she the big fat one in the second row down there?
No. No, that's just a
thing. Oh, a thing. Yeah. Yeah, today I'm celebrating. I'm gonna live it up.
Good for you.
I'm gonna have some lemonade and stuff like that. And my oil. I might even have a little something in it.
Is that so?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just gonna leave it uncovered and see what falls in. Oh, I...
Well, Mortimer, there's nothing to celebrate. Thinking you've had bad luck when you break a mirror is just a silly superstition.
Well,
only a moron would believe that.
Well, I think I can meet all the requirements.
Yeah. Now, let's just see how superstitious you are. Do you think it's bad luck to throw your hat on the bed?
Well, not if you remember to take your head out first.
Yeah. If you found a horseshoe, what would you think?
Well, I guess some horses running around in his stocking feet.
Yeah, I... Would you say that you were lucky if you found a horseshoe?
Well, if the horse was still nailed to it, yeah.
No, okay. Now, how about black cats?
Say, how about them?
Yeah.
Does that answer it?
Well, it does. Well, what do you think when a black cat crosses in front of you?
Well...
What would you do?
Well, I'd trip on it.
No.
But the black cat walked right in front of me and then into my house.
And into your house?
Yeah.
Did it bring you bad luck?
No, black kittens.
Oh, black kittens.
<Never know. laughs> I had more kittens than mice around. You don't want one, do you? Talk to them. Yeah,
I see. Well, now... You know, some people are superstitious about pins. You know the old saying, see a pin and pick it up, and all the day you'll have good luck.
Yeah?
You've heard that one.
How does it go?
Well, Well, it just went.
Oh. Guess I was looking the other way. Yeah.
See a pin and pick it up, and all today you'll have good luck.
Oh, yeah. I pick up pins all the time.
Ah. Then you are superstitious.
No, no. After school, I work in the bowling alley.
Oh, I know. I'm merely trying to tell you that breaking a mirror could not have brought you bad luck.
Well, it did me. Only yesterday, I fell down an 80-foot well.
Is that so?
Yeah.
My, that must have been awful.
Well, it wasn't too bad. I wanted a drink anyway.
Well, it could have happened to anyone.
Yeah. What about the time I busted my nose?
Your nose,
yeah.
How did you do that?
Well, I dreamed I was a woodpecker. Oh, I did.
Well, that proves nothing.
Well, the nose proved I broke it.
Yeah, I know.
So, then there was a time I fell and sprained my milking hand.
Uh-huh. You recovered, didn't you?
Yeah, but it was a long, hard pull. Yeah. My cow Betty still calls me Lefty. Oh, she's a card, yeah.
Mortimer, all those things would have happened to you whether you broke a mirror or not.
Well, I ain't taking no chances. I'm getting rid of this pocket mirror right now. You are? Yeah, there.
Mortimer!
Easy now. Now I'm sure I ain't going to have any more bad because, you see, I think I goofed again. Yeah.
How can you be so stupid?
Well, I got connections, yeah. Of course, they're all loose ones.
They certainly are.
And now here comes our wonderful singing group, the Mellow Men. What are you singing tonight, boys?
Something's gotta give.
Almost did then, didn't it? Carry on, men.
Something's gotta give, something's gotta give, something's gotta give. When an irresistible force touches you, meets an old immovable object like me, you can bear that gradually. Something's gotta give, something's gotta give, something's gotta give. When an irrepressible smile touches yours, warms an old implacable heart such as mine. Don't say no, because I ain't safe. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna be killed. So I'm gone.
What the fates have in store from their vast mysterious sky.
I'll try hard,
ignoring those lips I adore.
But how long can anyone try? Fight, 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 fight it with all of your might. Chances are some heavenly stars.
The Edgar
Bergen Hour, transcribed with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Gary Crosby, Carol Richards, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Man, and Ray Noble, will be back after station identification. From Hollywood, it's the new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Gary Crosby, Carol Richards, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Man, Ray Noble, and yours truly, John Heaston. Ladies and gentlemen, Gary Crosby, the Mellow Man, and the orchestra bring us Noah Found Grace in the Eyes of the Lord.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he landed high and dry. The Lord looked down from his window in the sky. Said, I created man, but I don't remember why. Well, and nothing but fight since creation day. I send a little water and I wash him all the way. The Lord came down to look around the spell. And there was Mr. Noah behaving mighty well. And that is the reason why the scriptures record that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he landed high and dry. The Lord said, Noah, there's going to be a flood. There's going to be some water and there's going to be some mud. So take off your hat, Noah, take off your coat. Get Ham and Shem and Japheth and build yourself a boat. Noah said, Lord, I don't believe I could. The Lord said, Noah, get some 30 gopher wood. Because you never know what you can do till you try. Build it 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he landed high and dry. Noah said, there she is, there she is, Lord. The Lord said, Noah, it's time to get aboard. Take a beat, your creature, a heat, and a sheet. And of course, Mrs. Noah and your whole family. Noah said, Lord, it's getting mighty dark. The Lord said, Noah, get the creatures on the ark. Noah said, Lord, it's beginning to pour. The Lord said, Noah, hurry up, shut the door. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he landed high and dry. The ark rose up on the bosom of the deep. And after 40 days, Mr. Noah took a peek. He said, we're not moving, Lord, where are we at? The Lord said, you're sitting right on Mount Ararat. Noah said, Lord, it's getting mighty dry. The Lord said, Noah, see my rainbow in the sky. Take all your creatures and people the earth. But be sure you ain't more trouble than you're worth. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he landed high and dry. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he landed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for our Meet the People department. For the past few months, newspapers throughout the country have been carrying many controversial stories about a small but fabulous town in the West, Las Vegas, Nevada. Perhaps our guest tonight can shed some light on just what is happening in that wondrous mecca of chance on the desert. He's a member of the Nevada State Assembly as well as entertainment director of the Hotel Sahara in Las Vegas. I'd like you to meet Stan Irwin.
Thanks a lot.
Good evening, Stan. We've been reading a lot in the newspapers about those Las Vegas clubs that have been closing, and we've invited you here to get the inside picture. Do these closing mean the Vegas boom is heading for a bust? Is it the beginning of the end? What is the story, Stan?
Well, actually, Ed, it's just a natural pattern of development. The only trouble was too many hotels opened too soon in time to each other, not allowing either or any of them to develop a following of their own. And some of the blame has to be placed upon poor management.
Then the older established hotels are still doing all right.
That's true. The older hotels are maintaining their own, in fact, improving quite a bit. There's been an increase of over 12% in the tourist trade in our area, and there was 7.5 million visitors last year, spending close to $164 million in Las Vegas, and over two-thirds of which was spent exclusive of drinking or gambling.
My goodness. You mean there's something else to do, then, besides gambling?
Well, of course, Edgar. We're quite a resort area. We have swimming, boating, fishing, tennis, skiing, water skiing. There's even golf, you know. You don't have to gamble.
Yeah, but how come there are slot machines at every tee, though?
That's just relaxation.
I see. Well, that's one thing that amazes me about Las Vegas. Wherever you go, there's a slot machine.
You're right. We have well over 5,000 slot machines in Las Vegas.
Yeah, but don't you think it's going a little too far, putting them in the washroom? You have to hit two plumps of the cherry before you can use the roller towel in there.
Well, I guess that's why there's so many people walking around Las Vegas with damp hands. However, truthfully, we do feel that gambling does have a certain therapeutic value.
Oh, so it's got therapeutic value, yeah.
No, it really has. It actually takes your mind away from everything else. It was just the other day, I think it was at the Sahara, a gentleman was ready to roll dice, and Marilyn Monroe walked by in a bikini outfit, and all he said was, "Get out of my way."
Now, that is concentration. I guess there was a different kind of figure on his mind at the time then. Stan, how do you explain the fact that the other 47 states have voted against gambling and they don't allow it, while Nevada, gambling is legal?
Well, Nevada is really a western frontier state. 84% of the state is still owned by the federal government. We have less than 200,000 people, and gambling is easy to control there because of this factor. I wouldn't say that the other 40 states outlawed gambling. They just put a fence around a racetrack and say it's legal within that sphere. We put a border around our state, that's all. I mean, actually, gambling today is an amusement. And the intelligent way to play is to set aside a certain amount of money that you are going to play with or limit your losing when you visit the gambling room. So you don't get hurt. You just come from joining.
Now, there's very good advice. People should budget themselves for their gambling. Yes.
Absolutely right. And many of them do. In fact, the typical Las Vegas whale, I heard the other day, a fellow said, "Honey, give me the money I told you not to give me." And the wife came back with the typical answer, "I'm sorry, dear, I gave that to you yesterday." But there are still quite a lot of people who leave Las Vegas with a lot of money.
Oh, yes. Stan, do you gamble?
No, I never gamble.
You mean you keep passing those tables at the Sahara and you're never tempted to gamble?
That's correct.
You really mean that?
I do, I guess.
Oh, no, I don't know that. Let's be frank here now. Can you really stay away from gambling?
I'll bet you $5 I can.
Well, there. Well, you're faded. Dan, I don't know if you can tell us this or not, but I'm sure most people would like to know what percentage does the house have?
Well, Edgar, let's take dice, the most popular game, and according to whether you're betting with the house or against the house, your odds will differ from 1.39 to 1.41.
What is that? Is that around a cent and a half on a dollar or something like that?
That's true, Edgar. Just as that's very low. About a cent and a half to a little less than a cent and a half should favor the house, whether you bet with them or against them.
Well, I see. That's a pretty small margin there.
It really is, and gambling is a business. It's a legal business and has to be run and operated on basic economic theories.
Now, just what is done for the protection of the people?
Every player is protected from county, state, and by the hotels themselves, because if any false type of cards or dice go into any game, it upsets the odds not only for the player, but it upsets the odds for the house, and everyone is protected because of that. In fact, it was in the legislature this past year that I introduced a law to make it illegal for an outsider to try and cheat the house. Before this, it was merely a disorderly conduct charge. It is now a misdemeanor. Just the other day, a fellow walked up to the table, and he threw the dice, and one came out of his sleeve. And as the three of them landed on the table, we gathered around them. He said, "Don't worry, fellas, I'll make my point. It's only 15.
And now, what about systems? Are you afraid of these systems when they come along?
No, we rather enjoy them, Edgar, because all systems are based on what you call pyramiding your bets or doubling your bets. And the fallacy here is that every table or every house has what you call table limits. And once you hit the limit, you can't double beyond that. So no system can actually work because it cannot be doubled only up to a certain figure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's nice to have a system because after you lose your money, you still have your system.
Yeah. Well, I have my own system at the dice tables. I make mind bets.
Mind bets?
Yeah, I don't lose any money that way. I just lose my mind. But really, Stan, even though I don't gamble myself, I always have to think kindly of Las Vegas because of the great pleasure I have had there in performing there and because of the work that you give to so many performers. I wish we had another place in America that gave as much work to talent. But from what you've told us tonight, Stan, I gather you're full of optimism then for Las Vegas' future.
Most Nevadans are.
Yeah.
Edgar, as far as Las Vegas, we feel it's only the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We have outstanding climate, which will afford us the opportunity of becoming a great health center. We will be building a convention hall, which will allow us to become a convention center, not only make us the outstanding entertainment capital of the world, but the convention capital of the United States. We are bringing in the University of Southern Nevada. And prosperity is still there and will continue to be there. I would like to mention there has never been an FHA foreclosure in the city of Las Vegas.
Well, so then, as the sun slowly sinks behind the crap tables, we take our leave of Las Vegas. Stan, thanks a lot for being with us tonight and giving us your picture of Las Vegas situation.
It was my pleasure, Edgar, and we're looking forward to your next booking at the Sahara.
Yes.
Even though you don't gamble. Good night, Edgar.
Good night, Seth.
Carol Richards voices the complaint of a disappointed lover as she sings, "There Should Be Rules."
Be rude, protecting fools who fall in love. The way I fell when I met you that certain day, I should have known your heart of would play at love. Then in a while you'd stop and smile and go your way. There should be rules protecting fools who fall in love. But all those rules
If you're suffering from a virus cold, hot with fever, aching with pain, miserable with sneezing and sniffling, listen. Super Anahist relieves suffering even of virus colds. Nothing you've been able to get before works like Super Anahist. With Super Anahist, fever subsides. Muscular aches are eased. Sneezing and sniffling are relieved. You feel good again fast. Only Super Anahist relieves suffering of virus colds and helps resist dangerous after effects with its five cold-fighting wonder drugs now prescribed by doctors. If your family suffers from colds, even virus colds, be sure to have Super Anahist with concentrated vitamin C in regular and children's size tablets. Super Anahist.
Deep, racking bronchial cough of cold.
New Super Anahist cough syrup relieves that tickle, breaks up congestion fast, helps keep the cough from coming back. Super Anahist cough syrup with vitamin C actually works to check the cause of coughing spells.
Mmm, boy, it's good, too. Doesn't taste like medicine.
Get Super Anahist cough syrup with vitamin C.
Ladies and gentlemen, Assemblyman Irwin has told us a little about the present and the future of Las Vegas. Now let's look back into the past. As Charlie McCarthy Players, starring Charlie McCarthy and Gary Crosby, present a historical drama of one of the great moments in the saga of Las Vegas. The time, pioneer days, the scene, the eastern terminal of the Pony Express. Two of the most trusted couriers are now reporting to their chief.
Reporting for duty, sir. Gut Bucket Gary.
Yucca Flat Charlie. Tweet. Men of the Pony Express, this is a tough assignment.
You have a long ride ahead of you.
You'll have to change your ponies 12 times.
I'll change them if Gary will birth them.
I wish those ponies would grow up.
This is serious, men. This is serious.
Nobody's laughing. Go ahead.
This is a dangerous job. You're riding through to Las Vegas.
Las Vegas?
Here's your assignment. Take these three packages. Get them through. The fate of Vegas depends on you.
Yeah? Yes. All right, Gary, let's go. On to Vegas. Giddy up, pony.
Yeah, giddy up there. Yeah, come on, let's go there. Yeah, come on, man.
You know something? You know, we should have got on them first.
Yeah, I know. Happens every time.
Yeah.
Huh?
They caught up with their horses around Kansas City. And then on they rode. On and on. Night and day they rode.
Well, from here on, we better keep our eyes open, Gary. We're entering outlaw territory.
Oh, calm down, Yucca. There's nothing to... Look out, Charlie. A masked gunman.
How'd you do, Chet?
Stick him up. Reach for the sky, hands up, and all that sort of outlaw rot, you know.
Who are you?
I'm the third James brother.
But there's only supposed to be two James brothers. I never heard of you.
I know. I'm the one who stayed home. Haven't you ever heard of Home James? I always heard my victims laugh. Before I kill them.
Oh, well, then we're safe.
But now, Chet, hand over those packages you're taking in Las Vegas, please.
Come and get them. I think you got a yellow streak down your back.
Heavens, you're right. My bag of orange pico must be leaking.
If you were a man, you'd give us a fighting chance.
Very well. I have just one bullet in this gun.
Oh?
And we'll play Russian roulette.
Oh.
Here, you go first, old boy.
All right. I'll hold the gun to my head. Is there.
Ah.
Now it's my turn.
Yeah. Whew. Now it's my turn, old boy. Oh, goody, I won!
Yeah, the bullet went...
went right through his brain.
Lucky you didn't hit a vital spot.
Yeah.
Come on, we gotta make up for lost time. Las Vegas is depending on us.
Hey, Yucca Flats.
Yeah.
We've been riding for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We're going through a town now. Should we stop and rest?
No. We gotta reach Las Vegas. There's only one thing that can stop us. That's it.
Oh, come in, boys, and relax.
Yeah.
Here, I'll take care of those packages for Vegas.
No, I can't. You know the slogan of the Pony Express? Neither rain, nor sleet, nor snow.
My arms are around you.
Neither rain... Well, it doesn't say anything about a heat wave, does it?
Lady, you're tampering with the mails.
Yeah, I like it. I like it, too.
Heat wave, huh? Lady, I bet you're not so much.
Oh, no? You see that blonde crew cut of yours?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one kiss from me and...
Yeah?
Brush fire.
What about me?
Just hold it, Clyde.
Yeah.
We don't want it to spread to the woods.
Yeah. All right, I've wasted enough time. This is it.
Let's
have those packages for Las Vegas.
Yucca, look. She pulled a gun on us.
Well, where could she have hidden it?
I guess she wears a 36.
Yeah.
Look, fellas, if you don't hand over those packages, I'm going to shoot.
Oh?
Ah, come on, Yucca, let's run for it. I never saw a woman that could hit anything.
That's right.
Yucca, what's the trouble there?
Oh, just don't stand there bandaged by anything.
And so on they rode, these iron men, with the city's destiny depending on them. Over the mountains, and then into the intolerable burning heat of the desert. But still they rode, on and on.
I can't stand it any longer. Lost in the trackless desert. The blazing sun beating down.
What?
Burnt. Parched.
What?
I tell you, I'm going mad. Mad! Oh, Yucca, how long have we been in this desert anyway?
Oh, I don't know. 20 minutes, I guess.
Yeah, time drags. Yucca, look at those buzzards circling overhead. We're goners, Yucca. We're done for.
Yeah. One of them just flew down and hung a sign on you, approved by Duncan Hines.
Yes, and... one of them just hung a sign on you. Anyone for 2-6?
They're trying to kill us with their bad jokes.
No. Those buzzards won't get us.
No.
You've got the canteen, McCarthy.
Yeah.
There's still a little water left, isn't there?
No, there isn't. Better wipe my lips. Hey, Gary, hand me that red bandana, the one that you're wearing.
That ain't no bandana, that's my tongue.
That knotting in it fooled me.
Well, I think we're done for, Yucca. We'll never make Las Vegas with these packages.
Now, wait a minute, Gary. We're almost there. Now, look at that road sign. You are now approaching Las Vegas. Have your money ready. Oh.
Yeah, and look at the directions underneath. To reach Las Vegas, take Mountain Pass. Well, if you want to bet against the house, take Mountain Don't Pass.
Yes. Let's go on to Las Vegas.
Look, we're surrounded by Indians. Oh, we're goners, McCarthy. One of them's coming toward us now.
Well, we can still make it. It's only 4 miles past that point. Let's try.
How far is your point, boy? Put your money down.
Who are you?
Me, head of Las Vegas Tribe. Me, Chief Crazy Roll.
Crazy?
Chief Crazy Roll?
Yep. Me roll them dice all time. Never win. Go crazy.
But your tribe looks more like the Blackfoot tribe.
Oh, no. Come to Vegas, lose shoes, feet just dirty.
Well, now look, great red stomach. We gotta get through to Las Vegas with these packages. We'll do anything if you let us go on.
Okay. We'll let one go if other marry youngest of my 46 daughters.
You got 46 daughters, huh, Chief?
Yep. Me super chief.
Oh.
That caboose you got there.
Yes, and that's quite a cowcatcher you've got, too.
Cowcatcher? Oh, he must be using Bing's old material. Well, which one married daughter?
One of us got to do it, Yucca. Those packages must get to Vegas.
Yeah, and besides, maybe she's beautiful.
You and me call him daughter. Come from Lodge, O Princess Morningstar.
Yeah, I come, Papa!
Holy smokes. Touch it and see if it curls up into a ball.
Morning Star? She looks more like Morning After.
Daughter, we have two men for you. Which one you want married?
Oh, well, I don't know which to choose. Chief Yellow Sun or Varnish Face? Let's see. Me like 'em yellow fuzz. I'd be your wife.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Each night I will sing to you when I'm calling you. That's the Indian love call.
Yeah.
No wonder they're a vanishing race.
Okay. Yellow fuzz, married daughter, little totem pole can go.
Nothing doing. We're both getting out of here. Come on, Gary. Let's run for it.
That's right. Indians can't hit anything.
Now.
What happened, Yucca?
My anything is taking an awful beating tonight.
We made it, Yucca.
Yeah.
There's Las Vegas.
Yeah, we brought the packages through. We've saved the town.
Men of the Pony Express, State Assemblyman from Las Vegas.
I see.
I want to thank you with undying gratitude. Now, may I have the packages?
Here they are, sir. Here they are.
But tell us, sir. We went through prairie, mountain, desert. We were shot at by bandits, Indians. We were ambushed, almost killed. What's in those packages that saved Las Vegas?
Three new cherries for our slot machines.
You know, folks, every once in a while a new star comes along that makes even an old show business veteran like me applaud. And that's the way I feel about the new CBS TV sets. They're absolutely the greatest. And here's John Heaston to tell you all about them.
Friends, if you're thinking of buying a new TV set, don't make a move until you've seen CBS. Because the new CBS TV sets for 1956 are the first luxury sets in the popular price field. You see, CBS TV sets are made by a division of the Columbia Broadcasting System. And CBS electronic know-how makes it possible to put more into a TV receiver and sell it to you for less. These new 21 and 24-inch CBS TV sets are loaded with luxury features. They've got oversized screens, brighter picture tubes, Cascode turret tuners, and many other extras you'd expect to find only on the top-priced set. Yet you can buy a 21-inch CBS set for as little as $169.95. So if I were you, I'd make it my business to see the great new CBS TV set soon. Now, here's Edgar Bergen.
Till next Sunday, good night, everyone.
Remember to listen to Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Spurred, Ray Noble, and the entire ensemble next Sunday at the same time. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Jack Kirkwood, Carol Richards, Gary Crosby, Elvia Allman, and the Mellow Men was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Sam Pierce. Script by Cy Rose and Dino Clinker. This is John Heaston speaking.